You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, looking to you, deal with our heads, our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth, God, all of it, that it might honor you the more, and we would be more thankful and appreciative. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our looking at this special season, we share together that the Lord Jesus Christ, born the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. And God in his wonderful plan and purpose created humans. God made a promise, Genesis 3:15, to provide the Savior that he was and that he had in his plan and purpose. And therefore, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Bethlehem, if you would. And in the process of being born in Bethlehem, he is to be called Jesus. Jehovah saves. He's the Savior. God, one Savior. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. That's what he's called. And he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, having said that little bit and reminding ourselves, all of that took place. So when we come over to John, again, John chapter 1, we're told that in the beginning was the Word, God was the Word, God is the Word is God, God is the Word. He is the full explanation of himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, explains God in all of his wonderful, wonderful magnificence. God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Son. And God the Son explains God, shows God, points to God the Father in a most wonderful way, so that we can understand God and honor God. And therefore, what are we told? He's going to become flesh, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he's born Bethlehem of Judea as per God's plan. And verse 12, we're to receive him. Who are we to receive? We're to receive God the Son in the wonderful incarnation, the person, a baby born, human nature, God's wonderful deity and a human, perfect human, united in a one kind of person, Jesus of Nazareth. And we're to receive him, verse 12, and when we receive him, he's going to give us power, authority, right, and might. He's going to give us all the privileges of what? Of becoming sons or children of God, to have a unique relationship to God. And God's going to do this in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, God is going to go and remind us that Christ, the Word, become flesh. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but of everlasting life. So God, you are going to give yourself, we're going to go and receive you. So you're going to give a gift. You're going to give yourself. That's what you're going to do. God gives his only begotten Son. That's what he's going to do. So there's no question. The virgin born in Bethlehem is none other than Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, hold your finger here and go over for a moment to Romans in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6. And keeping in mind And in Romans chapter 6, going in the light of the context, straight down to verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. We're all born dead in sin. But the gift of God, the word gift, the present, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God, we have a problem. We're dead in sin, and we need a Savior. You have planned that from the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God slain from such. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God, you're going to give the gift of your Son, the Word become flesh. So that you're going to give us something. It's a gift, a present you're going to give us in your grace. Now, back over to John. So we shared one Wednesday on that. God himself giving himself in his Son. Now God is going to give us something. And you had a gift, and we did all of that now. Get a gift and you get something in the gift from somebody. And God isn't doing that. God's giving a gift. And when you open the gift, when you take the gift, receive him as your Savior. When you do that, you didn't receive something. You receive someone. That's the gift. God is the gift. God gives himself in the gift when you open the gift. That's important. God, hang on to that. Now God did that in a most wonderful way. So when we receive him as our Savior, we become children of God, as we read, and we go from death to eternal life, a unique relationship to God. Chapter 4 of John. John in chapter 4. And you will note, God is going to give several ways to explain his wonderful person, and one of them has to do with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And as we did that a little while ago, therefore, here's the woman. And picking up, if I can, in verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you knewest this, your little word gift, if you knew the present, if you knew the grace of God, if you knew the gift, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. Not, you're going to have to drink this all the time. You have to keep drinking water, 70% of you, water. Got to keep drinking water. Got to keep doing that. Uh-huh. Got to keep doing it. Now, if you just knew who's talking to you, and the gift, God has a gift. God talking to her is the gift in Christ Jesus. Sliding down, if I can, in chapter 10, sliding down in the light of the gift, verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whoso drinketh of this water from the well shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give unto him, he shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If you just understood that, you're going to have to keep drinking. And I'm here in front of you. God has a gift for you. I am the gift. And if you just look to me, I would give you, I would take care of your thirst. I would take care of it, so that you would never thirst again. You'll never be thirsty again. Hang on to that. never thirsty again. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 35, you recall, Jesus 6 and 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And, underlined in my mind and heart, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. Never thirst again. Huh. That's what he told them. And she had to have this exercised in a most wonderful way as you read the context, etc. Now, having said that, interestingly, John 1, 14, the word was clothed with flesh and blood. We're to receive him. When we do that, that's a gift. God, the giver, is going to give himself in the gift by way of Jesus of Nazareth, called Emmanuel, God with us. God, you're going to do that. God, you're going to give yourself in a unique way to us humans. You're going to give yourself. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give. It's a present. I mean, my grace. Two words we're looking at. Now, in the light of that. And so God, I'm interested. God, you're going to give a gift and a present, a wonderful thing. Now, what's involved in the gift? Of all the gifts people take, of the 7 million, billion plus people on planet Earth, only a small percentage have taken of the gift. Why is that? Why don't more people take of a gift that will give you an awesome relationship, that gives the person an awesome relationship to God, that they'll never perish? That's a gift, a present from God. We're in the presence of God, and he's going to give something to us. Why isn't it taken? Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. As you would note, you read it in scripture reading. And you will note, if I may go directly to verse 1, Isaiah 55, 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, what did God say to the woman? The woman was coming at noon, because she was a harlot, and because of the Samaritans and that kind of thing. So she came when no one else would come during the heat of the day. And she's getting water. Why? Because she's the thirsty. Thirsty. Uh-huh. And God mentions it. He said, but because you're thirsty, you need water. Now, God, water. But if we look for this gift, what is required? Thirst. Are you thirsty? What did you say in Isaiah 55? When you're going to go, your word and your will is ways are higher than the heavens. Verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come. What's the requirement, God? Of all the different things, we take water. We take water because we're thirsty. And that's why we take it. And since we're mostly water, made up of water, then we need water. And everything has water in it, more or less in some form. There are some bugs, etc., that can eat. They never drink. They never drink. They get all the water from the food. There's enough water in the food to feed them forever. Keep going. That's why they can live in the desert and stuff. Now, having said all that, God, you have to thirst. We have to thirst. Now, God, you keep saying that. Is it consistent, God? In order to get the water that gives us, satisfies our thirst, satisfies, and gives us eternal life and a wonderful satisfaction about everything. We're satisfied. We'll never thirst again. Fully satisfied. Now, God, that's what you say. You keep saying it. Is that the requirement? Seek the Lord with all your heart and you'll find it. You've got to have thirst. Okay. All the way over to Revelation and 21. So when we come to the end, Revelation 21, what are we going to know? And 21, may I slide right down the light of the context again. I'm going down to verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, verse 6, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the alphabet. I'm the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. You'll never thirst again. Wow. What do you mean? Well, the person that's thirsty, you got to be thirsty. Chapter 22. As you end your word, God, all you're going to say till you come, chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And all the time, what's this thirsty business? Thirsty, 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 thirsty. Wow. Now thirsty. And we need water. And if you've ever been in a place, a desert or some situation where there is no water, you are very, that's why people see mirages in the desert. Why? Because they're so thirsty. They're so thirsty, it comes up to the front. I'm looking for water, looking for water, looking for water. And there it is. See, but it isn't there. Thirsty. Thirsty. Now, so you have to have that in order, and we do. And we do. We drink water. Why do we drink water? Of some kind, in some way, in order to quench our thirst. Because we have an awesome body that is made up of water, 70% or so of it is water. So now, in the light of that body, it's an awesome thing to be in this body. It's an awesome thing in this body. And in the light of it, I thought you'd be, years ago I had used to say to people, when you travel, they would go where they'd find earth, red earth. Adam and Eve were made of red earth, the red earth, different colors grown. And so they brought me red earth. I have a bag, and here's a little bag of red earth. It isn't red anymore. It's just earth. You see that? That's what you are. Are you not? Oh, no, I'm not. I beg your pardon. If you'll have a little experiment, I'm gonna go and take care of your physical life. I'm gonna put you in the ground. For a couple of years, just who knows? And then we're gonna go and look at you. And I want to know. But I'll maybe find some bones, teeth, maybe. But a little longer, you're gonna be this. Understand that? So if you look at yourself. Look at it. Fingers, hands, eyes. We got them. Wow. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, aren't you? Now, we got that part. Let's go further. Now, everything, we're made of this dust. We're going to go back to dust. But in the meanwhile, God has taken dust and made you. And there's not one part of you, not one cell, not one DNA little string in you that is not awesome. And you and I don't have enough hours and years and forever to study the human body's magnificence. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you're just dust. But boy, we don't think like that. That's because we're satisfied, right? We're satisfied. We're satisfied. And unless you had leprosy or something, with the gangrene or something, and you have to lose something, we're satisfied. Are we thirsting? What, thirsting about what? You aren't just you. Cells, fingers, bones. You aren't just you. You're more than dust. Just the very fact that you're you and you are dust. We don't want to think about it, but we are dust. There must be much more than eating and drinking and putting water in us. Am I thirsting? Do I understand I'm more than this? More than my body? If not, I'm quite content with being who I am. And we all get older and all that kind of stuff and changes. But we're content, we stay content, satisfied, because we don't thirst. We don't hunger. We're more than this. We're marvelously more than this. And to boot, to add to this dilemma, we're made of the earth, dust of the earth, Genesis 1. So all the food, what do we live off of? We live off food. Well, plants and animals. Where do plants and animals come from? The dust of the ground. So when you go home and have your dinner, I want to encourage you, just as you go and have lunch or whatever you're going to do, and just think of it. All of it came from earth. And the earthworms and everyone did their job to make it good for you and all that stuff. And here you are, you're going to eat that. And it looks good. Doesn't it look good? The tomato sandwich looks good till you chew it. And it gets down there and doesn't look so good anymore. But that's what we do, and it's dust. You know, are we going to understand that hamburger, that piece of lettuce, whatever you're doing, and you're taking that, it's from the dust of the ground. That's what you are. Now, how can dust with the sun and the light become a nice piece of lettuce? A nice piece of lettuce. Wow. An orange. Do you understand where all that comes from? From the ground. From God. You are magnificently made, and you feed off everything that is awesomely created. God could have made everything a big stick of dirt, and you just mix it with water and drink it. No, God didn't do that. So a tomato, isn't a tomato? Tomatoes for that. A little seed, tomato seed. A little banana plant, pomegranate, whatever you want to talk about. It's all unique, isn't it? Well, your whole lunch is unique. It's all from the ground. Who did this? God did. Am I thirsting? Thirsting, thirsting, thirsting. God said, are you thirsty? About what? Me. I'm the gift. I'm the gift. Are you thirsty? Oh, no, God. No, it must be something else. No, we're quite satisfied with the magnificence of our body, the magnificence of the world around us, the wood, the trees, the leaves. Everything's unique. Bugs, birds, all unique. Everything's unique from the ground. Oh, it should be overwhelmed. Whoever did this, whoever made me, whoever made that cow to be able to eat the grass, and we can't eat grass, but the cow eats the grass and we can eat the cow. You got it? Wow. God, I don't want to know. Thirsty. You have to be thirsty. You have to think about everything, your life, the world you live in, what you are. And you start thinking about that. And God, you did this. The Lord Jesus said to the woman, if you just thirst for me, I'd give you water and you would never thirst again. Because you see, I'm the gift. I am Emmanuel. I want to be with you. And I made all of this happen for you to be what you are. Why? So you, eating all of this and becoming dust, can know me. That's what it's about. Wow. Now, hang on. You got to be thirsty. And therefore, without turning there in Romans and chapter 1, you know, what was the problem? They didn't want to know, we read it in Sunday school, they don't want to know God, they don't want to understand God, they don't want to thank God. They're magnificently made, they professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God into everything and anything except God. And therefore they lost the whole thing. Wow, a God gave himself in a most unique and wonderful way. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, if I may. And you will know, please. Remember, we stay with the thing because you're looking at God's word. And when I look at God's word and when you look at God's word, we're looking from Genesis to Revelation. We are not with Moses or Joshua just having five books. And we aren't with Isaiah. No, we're at the end. At the end, before the tribulation, etc. And we have it. So God, here we are looking and looking at your word. And we're looking at your word from Genesis to Revelation. And what is it about? You said it. James, you don't have to turn there. John 5 and 39, etc., etc., etc. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they what? They're they that speak of me. Genesis to Revelation, it speaks of me. I told the woman at the well, if she just knew who I was, she would ask of me, and I would give her water, and she would never thirst again. But she didn't ask me. Oh, it's going to work out for her, but in due season. Now, so here's James. And James chapter 1, God, you're going to help us with we're looking at, understand the whole book and the God of the book. So we're looking to get the handle on the God of the book. James 1 and 17, every good gift, there's your little word, and every perfect gift is where? From above. Mm-hmm. And the word good has to do, the standard of good in this case is God. And perfect has to do with complete, wanting nothing. So yeah, I'm going to read it that way. Every good, perfect gift, every good gift, God himself being the standard, and every perfect gift, complete, so that you're wanting nothing, satisfied, is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God, we're going to look to you, and you're going to go, and you're going to be, you. I understand, where does it come from? We got to have a thirst, got to think, and I'm more than this. I'm more than going to work. I'm more than going to school. I'm more than eating. I'm more than everything. The world around me is more than. It's more than wars and rumors of wars and people coming and going, working and our society and our communities. It's more than that. God. It's so much more than that. But if I don't ever want to see that, I'm going to be quite satisfied with my little life, finding what little niche that I can fit in and feel secure and safe, and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm never going to get there, God. I'm never going to find it. I won't find it because I'm satisfied. I'm content. Now, so God, all the gifts come from you. That's correct. Over, if you would please, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 4. And you would recall, often we do, to remind ourselves, chapter 4 of Ephesians. And God, you're going to tell us about your wonderful grace. And in chapter 4, picking up if I can, in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given. There's your little word, given, give, present, given, given, given. Given what? Grace, God's giving, God's free giving of himself. Every one of us is given grace, a God, that's where it comes from. And where does grace, hang on, I don't want to get sidetracked. Grace, where's grace? John 1:14, Jesus Christ, who's born in Bethlehem of Judea, is full of what? God's grace. What is grace? Grace is God giving himself to a person. We don't deserve one drop of it, but God's giving himself to a person. It's called grace. God giving himself in Christ. Jesus Christ is full of grace. Verse 16 of John, you don't have to turn there, John chapter 1. And God gives grace in place of grace, in place of grace. God, you're going to keep giving of yourself in Christ to my heart, to the believing heart, endlessly. And endlessly, you're what? Going to be God to our little heart, day in and day out. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what he wants. That's what he's looking for, to be God. We aren't God. We're created by God, for God, to honor God in a very unique and wonderful way. Therefore, verse 7, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure. Measure, how much of the gift. There's your little word again. Keep saying it, God, don't you? Yeah, he said, I gave you a gift. When you took my son and you opened the gift and received him, you didn't receive something. You received me, said God. Different. That's what you did. Now, so according to the measure, how much? Of the gift of Christ. God, you're going to do that in a most, most wonderful way. And this word, little word, you're looking at gift. Without turning there, 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. Thanks be unto God, which giveth his unspeakable, unutterable, beyond any way to give expression, his gift, his unspeakable, 2 Corinthians 9:15, his unspeakable gift. There's no way to describe it. There are no words. All you can do is enjoy it. It's a silly illustration. Just think if you were in the Atlantic Ocean, not the Pacific, but Atlantic, close by, and we were out there in the ocean, and all of it was fresh water. So, what do you know? All you got to do is put your hand over the side and scoop it up. Is it drinkable? It isn't salt water. It's fresh water. How much fresh water? As you look around in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, in your rowboat? Have you got enough to drink? What we need is food, you say. We got plenty to drink. Endless, endless, endless water. Aha. Now, back over, if you would, to Ephesians. God has given us the measure of grace in the person of Jesus Christ in a most wonderful way. Now, God, just to get that part of it, let alone any of this, over to Ephesians. Remember, God's telling us a wonderful relationship we have. Christ has given it to us in the heavenlies. So therefore, here's Ephesians 1. It just follow, all of it's tucked together, tied together nicely. Verse 20, which, I'll read verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, would us who believe, believers, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. God positioned the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ at his right hand, resurrected. That's why you can be saved to the uttermost, because that's where he is. And since he's there, and you received him as your Savior in his wonderful deity, that's why your humanity resurrected is going to be there, because he's there. Hang on to that. Now, that's where he is. So it makes God, you make something wonderfully possible. Chapter 2, as you would understand, verse 6, and hath raised us up together at the same time, so we're sitting there, and made us sit together. Oh, that's where he is, in heavenly places. Where are we seated? So are we going to get loose and get lost? No, you're seated in Christ Jesus. That's why you received him as your Savior. He made you a new creature in Christ, etc. Now, that purpose, verse 7, ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his gift, of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Wow, you know, how are you going to do that? I am. Over to chapter 1. God, wow, we have a wonderful relationship, heavenly relationship, and therefore, since that is real, then God, what do we have? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with ALL, all spiritual blessings, and where were they located? In the heavenlies, in the heavenly places. And where? How so in the heavenly places? In Christ. Well, where are you located? In Christ, in heavenly places. Where everything is where you is. You're in the same place. Same place he is. How far away is everything? Never distance. It's all there. All there in an awesome way. You haven't even touched the subject yet. Now, in the light of that, if you would, chapter 3. God's benefits are endless. We're vessels of dust, aha. But our thirst, God, everything in my whole world, if I examine it, even give it 10 minutes of thought, is awesome. I can't think of see, touch, taste, smell in any way, any science, rules of nature, everything. God, that's how we got to the moon. That's how we got smartphones. Those phones aren't smart. Just someone was smart enough to play with little wires and stuff, diodes and stuff, and make little things come together. And so when you count, I know I had to take that 100 years ago at University of Southern California. They were changing to computers, etc. We did transistors and that. And then you have to go. And what do you have to do? Well, you have X0, and then you go and have all little switches. Little switches, and to push a switch, and you want to go and count 9 times 9, and it all jumps through. And 9 times 9 is, I don't have a computer, 81. Little switches. I think that's awesome, don't you? Did you ever think how they make things? The whole thing you're doing, it's the taking. What light, I don't get into it, you know it. The whole thing is blows your mind away. But we don't get to the God who made it like this, so that we could get to him. That's what it's about. God didn't give you his little world to play mathematics or computers or invent things. God gave you himself. Because you're only dust. But if you understand, you're more than dust. I guess we're more than dust. But if we don't honor God, we miss out on being dust. And our bodies go back to being dust, where they came from. Now, so here, if we can, in Ephesians chapter 3, God, Ephesians 3, picking up a little context, not much, verse 19, and we know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's no way to understand the love of Christ, no. And so what are we going to do, God? Verse 20. Well then, if you can, it's beyond our understanding, and knowledge. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able, quite capable, all powerful, to do exceeding, abundantly exceeding, exceeding abundantly above, exceeding abundantly above all. God, how are you going to say it to us? God's very good at helping us. It just blows our mind away because he never uses the word grace be subtracted to you. Grace be added. No, grace be multiplied. Multiplied. Everything's whew. That's how God is. Well, but people don't appreciate God. God, we'll pray, come to church and go home. Wow. We miss out. That's why the whole system's going where it is, into the days ahead of apostasy and everything. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power of the dynamite, the dynamo, that worketh in us. So God, you did a wonderful thing for us. You have made us, and we just need to thirst and be satisfied and understand. You have done something awesome wonderfully for us, and God, we need to appreciate it. We need to honor it. Now, Israel, did you honor it? No. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Israel had an opportunity, they just didn't take it. Now, we're way ahead of them in understanding we should be. Deuteronomy chapter 8, may I pick up, please? In the light of it all, God's going to put us to the proof. That's what Israel, verse 2, 8, 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. And God put him through the test, and God would take care of him for 40 years, etc., etc. Now, verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. They always needed water, and God provided it, even in the desert where there is no water. And that was awesome, and they say water's there, but they couldn't even talk about it. No one can talk about it. God, how could you feed over 2.5 million people with animals by the thousands when there's no water? And God said, hit the rock, speak to the rock, and water will come out enough for everybody to quench their thirst. I don't read about them being thirsty in the wilderness. Because God was taking care of them. They didn't even understand it. Therefore, a land of wheat and barley, wines and fig trees, etc., olive trees. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Wow, bronze. When thou hast eaten and art full, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. The problem is you're going to forget. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're able to eat the food. So is the rest of the 7 billion of us on earth. More or less, whether we just eat rice, whatever you're going to do. I don't know. God made his systems all wonderful. I can tell. We have to have the triangle and the food triangle, and we got to have all of this. And there are millions of people that have rice. Rice and more rice and more rice. Rice for breakfast, Rice Krispies for lunch. They got all rice, lots of rice. And they keep living. Now, God, that's amazing. Why do I need to have so much, this triangle, you know? And you got to go to the woods, forget all that. And you got to go to get it. Wow. Now, God, what's our problem? We don't thirst. We didn't think it through. They didn't understand. That's chapter 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God said, I wanted you to understand why you have everything, because I'm taking care of you. 1,000%. You don't get sick. Clothes don't wear out. Everything for 40 years. Come on. Someone wake up out there. Wow. And they didn't do it. They just didn't appreciate God. And here we are on the other side, and we don't appreciate God, generally speaking, across the population of the world. No. And unfortunately, too many believers of us aren't really thirsting. And therefore, we never get satisfied. We're trying to eat everything without looking to you, God. And it isn't everything we eat or do. It's about you. Well, you read it on Wednesday, didn't you? Whom have I in heaven but God? It isn't about angels. It isn't about streets of gold. It isn't about anything. What's it all about? It's about God. We are actually enjoying heaven, the God of heaven, right now. If I just understand it. Wow. And God. So here we are. They tend to forget. Go over with me in closing. Not very good place to close, but maybe not so bad. Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And you remember God gave them everything. And if I can pick up, please. Verse 7, 106, 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty powers to be known. Wow. Now sliding over, if I can, having done everything, verse 13. And they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, in the desert, 40 years, and tempted God in the desert, put God to the proof. And that's why you'll understand the whole 40 years, 38 years. He gave them their request, but sent leanness, scantiness, famine into their soul. And with a full belly, they were never full. And having everything, they were never satisfied. How much will satisfy you? I'm getting pay of X dollars, more dollars, Think of you, I don't know the pay, Buffett, Buffett, those guys. How much do they get paid? They get paid more than you, most of you? Bill Gates, does he get paid more than most of you? When are you satisfied? With what? The heart is, God alone can satisfy the heart. And if you don't let God satisfy your heart, you're going to always trying to be get thirsty, always trying to find something, but not looking to God. You're going to find in the world, and you're going to be content with whatever the hamburger I ate. I had 5 hamburgers for lunch, and I'm full. Content. But all of that's going to disappear. And I got to eat 5 hamburgers again. God, I'm more than 5 hamburgers. I'm more than that. You're more than that. God, you've given yourself. I've got to quit. I hope you got a little bit to start you. Just to get started. Our Father and God, thank you very, very much for what you do and say. And God, I don't want to find myself satisfied. I want to be thirsty. God, I want to grow and know. I want to understand. I want to learn. I want to appreciate you, your awesome person. God, you, just to appreciate you, God. Plus nothing, plus no one, just you. God, that's what it's all about. I know it is, God, just about you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you very, very much. God, in Christ's name, amen.